meeting. First item on our agenda is public comment. Do we have anyone that would like to comment? Two on the agenda. Okay,
sounds good.
All right, second item is Luke Kohler, who wanted to speak to us again. So Luke, come up.
Eric?
Thank you.
Pam?
Thank you, sir.
Jerry?
Eric? Larry, who's not here? Mark, who's not here? Richard?
Thanks, sir.
TJ?
Thanks, buddy.
Would you mind giving the clerk one of those?
Yeah.
Since they're not here?
Yep.
We can get them a copy if they want one later. Thank you.
So, before I start, because I need to add something that I forgot, I'm just going to read this all. But I feel like this is a decision that can't be made, like, right now. I feel like this is a decision that needs to be, I don't know the right word, tabled or for a while, and thought about, truthfully thought about, and really looked into to see if this is something that can work. So again, my name is Luke Kohler. I was born and raised here in Daniel. You guys can follow along. You have a copy of what I'm going to say. I've enjoyed growing up and living here, and I currently rent a house with my wife and three kids in Midway. I'm proposing the division of the lot 20-4436 into two lots. The division would make the current 2.97 acre lot into roughly one lot, being 1.42 acres, which currently my grandfather's living on or in. And the remainder of the property would become the new lot of 1.55 acres, pending the official survey, which would entail become mine. So the property that I am proposing is currently owned by my grandma and grandma, Len and Linda Luke. My grandpa is one of the oldest remaining original citizens of this town. With that being said, my grandpa and grandma are trying to provide a space for my wife and I to raise our children in, as well as have the rural agricultural lifestyle which we want, and to remain in this valley and town we grew up in, to provide our children with the same opportunities and values which we grew up with. In return, I'm providing my grandparents with comfort and peace for them, knowing that their land is staying in the family and will not be developed into multiple housing units in the future. Regardless of, you know, what you guys think, I think eventually that's going to happen around here. I know we can only hold off for so long. So I'm also giving them a cushion to live out the rest of their lives and enjoying whatever they may want to do. My grandparents need money. Taxes in this place are getting ridiculous. They're old, they live off Social Security, and it doesn't work. So, with my wife and I being able to do so, I feel like I'm helping the town remain rural and agricultural for the next generation. I'm 30 years old, I feel like I've got a while to be here. I feel like as if I'll be a contributing member of the town. As I take a look around, there's not very many young families in this town. Our water board and team and workers are great people, and in no way am I trying to offend anybody, but they're getting a little old. Wouldn't it be nice for a young guy like myself to be able to gain the knowledge of these older guys and understanding that they have for our current systems, and be able to provide the labor and work that it takes to undergo some of these issues that arise without these older gentlemen having to go through the back-breaking labor that it takes to do some of these projects? Telling you that I'm the guy that is willing to do that, put forth the effort and learn the systems and learn everything that this town has to offer. I was raised in this town and I want to be a part of this town. So, with all that being said, as I took the information that I gathered from the last meeting, I have built a packet which you all can see there and provided what I want to present for you. So in each of your packets, I have provided plot maps and of the current lots and areas of the proposal, as well as maps and lots in question. I have also gone through the current Daniel Town Code and created a packet with the current RA1 zoning code, as well as the RA5 zoning code, providing the necessary requirements and information for what I am proposing. So in Exhibit A, you'll see it shows the cross-sections of the existing lot of 20-4436 in relation to the current surrounding lots that exist in Daniel, around where I'm proposing this. In Exhibit B, it shows the present lot of 20-4436 along Little Sweden Road with other present lots in the area. Take into consideration the lots currently east of lot 20-4436, as well as the lots west of lot 20-4436, which that lot is the lot that my grandparents own at 215 Little Sweden Road. So Exhibit C shows a proposal of the lot division of 20-4436 into two lots, which have the ability to meet all requirements of the RA1 zoning. On the south end of the property, which would be considered frontage, there would be approximately 177 feet of frontage running west to east towards Steve and Betty Mayer's property. When you hit that corner and turn north, the approximate footage of the eastern border would be 370 feet. At that point, you'd turn back west and it would run approximately 177 feet back towards what would be the new boundary of my grandfather's property line, which at that point would turn south and run approximately 394 feet back to Little Sweden Road and would represent the western border of the proposed 1.55 acres as well as the new eastern border for my grandfather's 1.42 acres. Again, this is all pending official survey, but I ran a tape on it and I feel like it's pretty accurate. The lot kind of is a little skewed and the back fence line runs a little on kind of an angle. That's why the two are different. So, my intentions with doing this are plain. I'm trying to provide an opportunity for my kids to grow up in this valley and enjoy the things that I've been able to enjoy over the past 30 years. I feel as if guys my age, our generations being forced out of this valley with no return in the option in the future. My intentions are to build a single family dwelling for my wife and I to raise our children, as well as a barn for agricultural use, to keep the rural lifestyle feel that Daniel has to offer. I'm proud to be from Daniel. I'm proud to say I'm from Daniel. And I wish that I could stay here for the rest of my life and represent the greatest town in Wasatch County. I do believe that. I'm not just saying that. I honestly believe that. And I hope you guys, take the time to truly think this through. I want to do everything possible that I can to stay here. And I don't think this is a decision that can just be made on a whim or because this says so and that says so. I feel like this is why people are put into certain positions to make these decisions. Because it's always been this way is not, I don't feel like, is an answer. I feel like it's something that changes always occurring. Change is inevitable. No matter what aspect you look at it in life, change is inevitable. And just because this has been the way for 100 years doesn't mean that this is the way for 100 years and one day. So that's what I have to say, and I appreciate you guys letting me come present again, and I honestly hope that you guys really truthfully think about this and weigh all the options. So if you guys have any questions, fire away. I'm here till you kick me out.
Well, Luke, I think you did a great job. You did your homework and laid it out clearly for us. I appreciate that. Have you checked with the health department? Maybe Eric knows the answer to this if you haven't, to see if it's possible to put another septic system on that lot.
So the requirements say it's, and I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's 220 feet from septic, in between septic to septic on property. Is that accurate?
They have to be separated by 200 feet.
200 feet, not 220.
Is there a minimum acreage?
That I don't know.
Okay.
No,
In this packet, in the zoning, I went through all the town code, I went through everything, and it's 200 feet from septic to septic, and that lot, if we were to divide that, would meet that requirement. And I'm more than happy to go talk to Tracy Richardson at the health department. I know Tracy very well, and if that's something I need to do between now and, what is it, April 16th, I'll do it.
It's a good thing to do. I mean, even if it was okayed, the county can still, you know, have their regulations that override and would say whether or not you can build a house. So I think it'd be smart to check on that.
And also, I've looked into, there are different purification systems you can put on septic systems now. There's expanded systems you could put on. There's ways to do this. I've looked into every feasible option, and I've done a lot of research, and this is something that I'm passionate about, and I want to make happen. So I'm willing to do whatever. If it's put in a special septic system, I'll do it. If it's an extra 40 grand for that system, I'll do it. I want to stay here. Yes, Pam?
So my questions were, again, great way you brought everything together. Good job. Right now, this lot is in RA5 zone. Is that correct?
It is.
Okay. Do you know the approximate acreage of the lots right around you? Like, are they 2 acres, 5 acres, 10 acres?
So the lots vary from anywhere from a quarter of an acre to a hair over an acre, acre and a half. If you look at the lots that are west,
So Reed, this direction?
Yes, Reed and Carrie Stevens, which is right next to it.
Okay.
Their lot is just under 3 acres.
Okay, approximately, okay. Okay.
The gentleman in the greenhouse, I can't remember his name.
Pete.
And is he to your east? I don't know.
He's to the west again. West of
west
Reed
here.
Stevens.
Okay.
And his lot is roughly, I think it was just over a half acre.
Can
okay.
I speak?
Yes,
I'm
well, as far as I'm concerned.
Here, yes. I'm yeah. looking at my my Onyx, and it says the lot directly west of this proposed, or his grandpa, Stevens Reed,
mm-hmm. Reed Stevens,
yeah. It looks like it's two lots.
Yeah.
Or no, it's just one, sorry. It said 1.75 acres. 1.72 acres.
That's lot 4444?
I don't know
yes.
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes? Okay, thank you.
And then the two to the east are quite a bit smaller. Mary, Stephen.
Stephen, Betty, Mary.
That's 0.7 acres.
0.7. 0.78. Okay. I'm just trying to get a sense of, right now it is an RA5 zone.
It is.
How many RA5 lots are in this area?
Not very many. In fact,
so that's what I'm trying to get a handle.
I have the exact number, but I didn't want to come here and...
Okay,
and
well, I'm just trying to get an idea because as it sits now, we need to... I'd like us to stick with the code, but maybe the code needs to be changed if all the lots are more RA1 sizing, which I don't know that. So that was my question.
I mean, roughly it's one to every six is 5 acres.
Okay. Because I don't, as a planner, we plan the way we have planned.
Absolutely.
Be it old news, new news, whatever. But to allow one person to change to an RA1, I believe you have to plan to have everyone do
Absolutely.
The same thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I was trying to get an understanding of that. Then my second thing is the health department thing. I think you have to explore that right away.
Absolutely.
Because that may just say, nope.
Okay.
Because there is obviously no septic system.
Yep.
And not going to be in who knows when, because I don't want to pay for it, personally. So that was one thing. Okay, so, and then I just wanted to ask you about the RA1 for all would have to change, not just your lot. And where is your grandparents' house on this picture here?
Oh, is it not there?
No, is it on the east side or the west side?
It's on the west side of the property.
It's on the west side, so it's over here.
It's on the west side.
Okay, all right, thank you. And I'll ask that question. You answered that question. And my other thought was, have you considered adding on to your grandparents' house in some fashion as an option because then that would be one house on 2.95 acres.
9.7.
Thank you. As a possible option if the zoning wasn't changed. I mean, that's an option.
Yeah.
Could be an option.
I'd rather not. If it goes to that, I would rather just purchase the property as agricultural land, and it's agricultural land.
Okay.
Because this lot is in the RA5 zone, but it was never 5 acres.
Correct.
Never has been, never will be.
Correct. But that's, they had to, when they made the town, as you well know, they had to make some calls on where everything was.
Absolutely.
And that was the call in that area, well, in the whole section.
That was the county zoning when the town was created.
That was when.
That was the current zoning.
And so the town of Daniel just took the current zoning of Wasatch County when we became a town in '06. Okay. That answered.
Honestly, I'm going to go do my research again, but I don't feel like there's any way that he shouldn't be able to sell me that land as agricultural land. If I'm not planning on building on it, why can we not divide that into a, because it's going to be a non-conforming law?
It is a non-conforming law.
It's already a non-conforming
yes,
law.
Yes, correct.
State subdivision law would probably stop you from doing that.
So, yeah, I mean.
Check into it.
Before I talk myself into.
No, I just.
I'm going to do some more research, and you guys will see me next month, but I do want you guys to consider this and really think about it, and I'm going to take every step that I need to. If I need to go before the town council, you know, this is all new to me. I'm a 30-year-old dude trying to figure stuff out.
As we all are.
So.
And you know, the reason the town was developed to try to give us all a little more breathing room, and of course, as soon as you say dividing lots, then all of a sudden where the vision is like over Wheeler Park. Everybody's right on top. I'm pretty close to Wheeler Park.
Yeah.
And they're literally right on top of each other.
Right.
And I didn't move to Daniel to live like that.
Yeah.
And you say, oh yeah, we're going to be here forever. Things change. You don't know that. And if we set one precedent, we need to change it for everybody, or at least talk about it.
Right.
What your neighbors think or not.
Yeah.
All the above.
Do you want me to go propose this to my neighbors and get their opinion, their input? Do you want me to get them here? Do you want signatures on notes?
I think we'd be jumping ahead a little bit there.
Okay.
I think we just need to spend more time talking about what the vision was and what the future vision is
on
rural agriculture. I hear what you're saying, and I understand. But it's just not you. If you do it, then the guy next door is going to say, well, I'm going to divide mine too. And then the guy behind says, I'm going to divide mine too.
Right, but also consider the frontage that I have. Not everybody has that frontage.
That's
right?
True.
So
yeah, nope.
There's, you know.
Some limitations.
There. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 177 feet of frontage is honestly unheard of in the RA5 zone. That could potentially be another lot, right?
You can create frontage.
Well, it's 100 feet now is what you need to have, so, on frontage. So, it's greater than 100 feet,
right,
obviously, but I understand what you're saying.
So,
thank you.
Do you have any comments, Eric?
I was just in the package you gave us, Luke, I just wanted to know, the 177 feet, is that before subdivide or after subdivide? Does each lot have 177 feet?
So I'm not quite sure what they'll have, but I know it's at least 100.
You'll have 100?
I'll have 177, and my grandpa will have roughly 100.
So this 177 is for the new lot?
It is the new lot.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
So it's almost 300 total or something.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the health department checking on the septic, understanding if that's a no-go out of the gate, then there's no point for their.
Yeah, right.
But,
yep.
And the other thing, as long as it's zoned RA5, there's not a thing that planning can do.
So then I take this to the town.
It's a zone change, right?
It's a zone change. A big zone change, not just your lot. I mean, the whole area would need to be changed, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I really piecemealing, we've talked about
lot.
That.
Well, you say you can't, but if it's voted on, then it can be done.
Anything can be done.
Right.
But everyone has to agree to it and be voted on.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It can be said yay or nay.
But I'm saying we can't just change one lot.
We can't change one lot. We prefer not to change one lot.
Well,
in other words, make you RA1 and everybody else is RA1.
And I understand that, and I'm not trying to get in an argument.
No, I'm not arguing.
That's, in my opinion, that's an opinion. Right?
In your opinion, yes, I can hear you.
Is there a matter of fact on the subject?
Is there a certain amount of lots or area that you have to do for a zone change?
No, they just discourage.
Discouraged, for sure.
Yeah, right. Lot zoning. No. But it starts somewhere.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Zoning all starts somewhere, so.
Right. And this might be the start.
Yeah, certainly.
Hey, I was told I'm going to take a lot of arrows, and if I'm taking arrows for people, you know, I'm taking arrows.
I don't think you've gotten any arrows yet, have you?
No, I haven't, not yet.
Good. Don't ever want people to feel like that. We want people to come and talk to us.
Yeah. No, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I want to continue to have a good relationship moving forward. And
I suspect you'll get decent feedback at the health department. I mean, I know everything up in Timberlakes is on septics on some pretty small setback areas and lots. And I don't know the difference between there and here, but they get away with some small lots there in septics. So, but it'd be worth confirming the differences there.
Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys are welcome to keep your copies, and you know, I'll probably have a similar proposal next month with feedback from the health department.
Okay, cool. Ready? That'd be great.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is the basement building permit for Richard. Anything on that, Eric?
I think the only thing that I had was that they're asking for an addition to the basement.
Right.
And we have a conditional use that in that same area was put for parking. It's currently active on that lot. So I don't know if there needs to be a review of the conditional use.
I think if there was going to be an apartment, and I didn't see a kitchen, it's just bedrooms and a bathroom to finish out the basement, I would have more of an issue with that saying it goes with the conditional use. But what the rest, and from what I understand, the plans needed one minor update, changing a date on a code, and it was ready to go.
Did Amelia make it?
She didn't, but that was the last email I saw from Amelia.
Yeah, they had, well, the first ones came in, and it was the wrong code. It referenced the wrong code.
Yeah, so she was going to change that.
Which might change some of those little things, but that was my main concern, is that area where they're at in that garage was scheduled, that was written in for parking for their conditional use for their therapeutic animal farm. So,
yeah.
It's up to you guys if you want to review that.
I don't know that I've hardly ever seen it being used. See any problems with it.
Yeah, I haven't been used in the park off the side of the road on 3000 when they've been there. But I haven't seen anybody there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty rare that they use it. I know the family is, they're just too big for that house. They just need more living space, more bedrooms and stuff. So.
Get a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the Richter basement building permit.
Is there a second?
With the updates on the date and all that? Because I didn't see that.
I haven't seen it.
I can tell you what Amelia's.
Please.
You guys haven't seen the plan?
Nope. And this is the first time hearing of it.
No, and if we got an email.
Emailed out to you guys. Here's
was it today? I looked last night, but I didn't see it.
Two copies. Go ahead.
Perfect. It didn't change the building envelope, and it didn't have a kitchen or other questions.
No, it's Big Hollow. 303 Parish South, Big Hollow.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you guys had all that.
Well,
that's my fault.
If you sent it today, I didn't see it. I looked last night.
Yeah, so Amelia did say something today, this morning.
Here's what I have from Amelia.
Okay.
It says, I want to touch base with you on this permit prior to the Planning Commission this evening. TO has had an opportunity to review the resubmitted plans and only have one comment. Update the reference to the 2003 IRC to reference the 2015 IRC, which is currently governing. So I would say if you're going to do a motion, then maybe we need something that they make that change to the 2015 IRC code.
So they're just finishing the basement?
Yeah.
Updating the permit is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Well, there were plans that were with the original house plan for the basement, and they submitted those, and they needed some updating because they were old.
No change in footprint, it's just a change of plans.
Yeah, it was 20 years old.
So it's basically the same plan, but it's just got some updates that need to happen.
Okay, so I'd like to amend my motion.
Thank you for the information.
To approve the Richter basement building permit based on, you tell me those numbers again.
To reference the 2015 IRC.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Can you call for a vote? Pam?
Yes. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Fantastic.
And now we're on to number four, which is Ryan. Do you have anything on that one, Eric?
Little bit. You want me to address that, Ryan?
Yep. I just want to ask you a question.
Me too. So we started with they started with an agricultural building, and then we decided to go with an accessory building because he's added some features.
You've seen this one.
Yep.
And so what that does is that pushes us into this code for accessory buildings. So that will come into play.
Thank you.
And that code is 82108. And so that pushes it to a conditional use is what it does. So we need to hold a public hearing for the conditional use.
Okay.
And I've talked to Ryan, and he's just going to continue because he started. And if it doesn't pass the conditional use, he'll just go back to agricultural. But you don't have to have a conditional use for 1,500 feet if it's agricultural. It's once it becomes an accessory structure, then you have to have a conditional use if it's over 1,500.
And it's how many square feet?
So I just did the rough math, and I have 2305, 36 by 64.
That plan is actually, it ain't gonna make a difference, but that it's 35 by 64.
So, yeah. Dole 5 goes away.
35 by 64 is the size?
2240, yep.
Okay.
So it still pushes you over?
Yep.
Yep.
So tonight what we're looking for is you guys to set a public hearing, mail out the notices.
What does the public hearing do? What is it?
It just gives your neighbors a chance to come and any concerns they have. And so we'll send a notice out to everybody within 500 feet and then set the public hearing. And
if they're all right with it, I'm good to go.
Yeah. It just gives them the opportunity.
So I need to get some cash, some blue bills.
You can't say that.
Don't think you'll need it, but anyway.
It's a nice looking building, everything looks good. Did you guys get to see that?
Yeah, I
saw that one out. Floor plan. Yeah.
So is there anything we can do to, like, Amelia's telling me I can't get an inspection on my footings without a permit, and I want to pour those next Wednesday.
I don't have a problem with him moving forward with the cement, because if it goes back to an agricultural building, it won't be inspected anyway. So I would call in and get it inspected and move forward, assuming that it's going to go forward with the conditional use.
The only thing that would stop a conditional use is if the neighbor said no way.
Right, if they didn't like that, but he can still build it under the agricultural.
Correct.
Within the code under the agricultural.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say this, but he was worried that if somebody signed doing something in there that wasn't agricultural, it would save me showing up with a letter on his doorstep.
Okay.
Got it.
That's because of your reputation.
Yes.
You're a doorstep kind of guy.
They don't mind me on the doorstep is when I bring a letter.
You can come with free hands.
So I guess, is there anything that if it does get booted out of an accessory building that we would need, you'd be looking to change in the building itself if it goes back to attic?
What would I need to change? Could I change, I mean...
Is it just the use of it, or is it the way you're going to design it or build it? Would any of that really change? I don't know.
I would like to keep it. I mean, I don't, what would the neighbors, Eric, do you, I don't even know, like, what would they complain about?
I don't know. You know, if you're working on your snowmobiles in there, or...
They have the right to complain about anything they want.
Yeah, they will complain, so... But, I mean, it just falls under the act, so I know that you feed your cows off the snowmobile, so that really wouldn't count, but...
Well, it's going to have an airplane in it, and I've approved that with all the neighbors, so I imagine this hearing will be all right.
I guess we shouldn't send that out with the notice on.
You know, land on 3000 South and just pull them in.
I don't foresee a problem with it.
There's nothing that says you can't put an airplane in.
That's true.
I'm not sure where you land it, but you can put an airplane in.
That's true.
And besides, Ryan's snowmobile sounds more like a drone. It's all high revs. The first couple days I heard it, that's what I thought it was. And I realized, oh, that's a snowmobile.
Are there different permit fees, I guess, for an accessory building versus ag then?
Yeah, because it'll have the inspections. And
so do we just have to make sure we're getting paid for that if we're already going to go out and inspect in case it gets booted out?
Yeah.
You're okay still paying a permit fee regardless of if you have to go back to ag, but we inspected.
I wouldn't want to pay the whole permit fee.
Whatever we've gone through to that point.
Yeah, but you dropped off a fee.
You've already got an ag permit.
So we got $250 deposit.
That's enough to cover us for a cement inspection.
Yeah, about $50. So.
I guess my question is, have you all looked at the plans? I have no problems. Do any of you have any issues with this before we... Okay. Or any questions for Ryan?
That's what he came for. He heard him.
Yeah.
Is there...
I'm just happy I caught that.
What do you need to consider on the special use?
The conditional use?
Conditional use. Is there going to be something written up on that for us to approve, or...?
You'll be looking at the neighbor's concerns.
Okay.
We have several conditional uses in that neighborhood already. The Witt barn was a conditional use, Rob Armstrong's. So there's, and we just approved one up by the Banganers, old house next door. I forget their name. For their barn, they wanted a dog station inside, so that was another one we just approved last year.
Yeah, besides it was, I think, 5,000 square feet.
It was big.
It was big. Okay. So we'll need to set a public hearing. Does anyone want to make a motion on that?
Can I ask one more question, Eric? Where's the 500 to start from? Is it like my property or my house or the shop?
It's just your property. They just take your property and then they just...
So Gary needs recruited. Everybody want 500 feet around my property line.
Those will get the notice. There will be a public notice going out to everybody in the town. But those get a special notice.
Okay. So more than, I mean, if somebody's a mile down the road, they can complain and stop it if they don't like me.
Well, no, they could complain. They couldn't really stop it.
Okay.
Anybody can complain about whatever they want to, and then we have to decide what we're going to listen to.
Okay.
Whether it's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they get paid the big bucks.
How soon can we do the hearing?
Let's see, is it a month notice?
No, it's 14 days.
14 days.
Yep.
The next planning commission is April 20th. Right, but could we do it for the town council meeting?
Probably not, but you could hold a special meeting if you wanted to.
Because when's the next town?
If you guys April don't 4th. Care, if you April guys 4th. Don't see any problem with the whole foundation, footings and wall, then we could just do it next planning meeting. That's all that would be done by then.
But those will still be in place even if you go with ag, right?
Well, I might get rid of some walls because it just would be a drop. They told me I couldn't have that basement portion, then I would fill that back in. It's a lot of concrete and it's not even necessary.
So I guess that's a risk you're taking by waiting. So
I mean, they could.
All right.
I mean, somebody could come in and ask, what are you doing with that basement? It's just storage, then I don't think anybody's going to take issue with their basement storage, right?
If they don't like what I want to do down there, then I'll make it storage.
I'm sure that's all it's intended to be.
Is the setbacks the same for accessory and agricultural building?
Yes.
The setbacks from your neighbors are the same?
Well, depends on if they have animals.
Correct, okay.
Yeah.
But this isn't an animal building?
Yeah, this is the setbacks, the side setback and the front setbacks. The only thing that we say is it can't be in the frontage.
Gotcha.
Accessory.
Okay.
So it has to be back.
But it's on the side of his house. I saw you digging over there today.
What do you mean frontage, Eric?
In front of the house.
On the plan that you submitted, you have a
Diagonal, right?
Right, that's your frontage. That's how.
Yeah, we're out of that.
Yeah, you're good with your layout. Your site plan was good.
Right.
Okay, can we get a motion to set the public hearing?
And do we want to just do it for the next planning meeting with all the conversation we've just had?
I think so, yeah.
I think that would be the most likely way to get a quorum here to make a vote and get people here. But that's my opinion.
Probably should call Warren.
Warren, 14 days, because we could do it for the same date as the town, the annual town meeting, because that's 14 days.
Yeah.
That's the 4th.
Notices.
This is the 16th.
Yeah.
2 weeks is the 30th. That's 14 days.
Yeah. Like you say, the notices have to go out. I'd be better off to just do it in the next.
On the plan, okay. Just timeliness. And I don't know, how long does it take the notices to go out?
Well, we have to send the ones to the neighbors.
Are they in the mail, U.S. mail?
Yes.
Oh, geez, well, that should be another month or two. Okay, just check.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that works for you. So I need a motion.
A motion for?
Set the public hearing.
Public hearing.
Public hearing during our next planning commission meeting.
On April 20th.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, call for a vote, so Pam?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion passes.
And we'll just do it before the planning meeting at 6? Or at 7, during the planning meeting?
During the meeting.
Some part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have all the information you need for that?
If we don't, we'll get with you.
Okay.
Okay, has everyone had a chance to see the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes.
Are there any changes or comments?
They were very well done. That's my comment. Good job.
Okay. So can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes prior.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, call for a vote.
Pam, aye.
Bridger, aye.
DJ, aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, so we have to do a general plan update this year. And I put this on the minutes just to discuss it a little bit. We can go more into it if you'd like to, but I just want to bring it up as an item. Mary Duggan sent some state code that I sent out to you. You can see the general plan on the town webpage. And I would like to put it on next month's agenda for a discussion, but give everyone a chance to kind of look through it, look through what the state requires, and we can get started. We have to get it done this year, and I'd really rather we get it done fairly soon, but you know, it's not like it's urgent, and we should just take our time and do a good job on it. So if I can get everyone to take a look at that, I'll put it on the agenda for next month.
And that was last updated in 09? That's the one I have?
No, 18, no. But that is the plan. Nothing was changed in 18.
Nothing was changed, okay.
Right.
Because I looked at this one, I'm like, that's a long time ago. Okay.
We probably should have updated the date, but.
Yeah.
We did, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want a copy of that, Gary? before you move on to this agenda item? I have copies of the general plan.
I think we can just pull them off of the website, unless, if you've got them already copied, sure.
Well, what I need to tell you is I have the general plan, but I also have the other two components of the general plan.
The land use plan?
Which is the moderate income and the land use plan. So none of these documents are separate. They all go together. So none of these are a standalone document. This is all included, so it's kind of hard to find on the website. This might help. It might not.
Meantime, I don't have to try to find code on that website.
I think Mary did give just the general plan document, that couple pages, and the land use at one of her trainings.
Yes, I think that's what I have.
So check what's in your notebooks, and you'll need to add the moderate income, because I know that wasn't included.
Can't sleep tonight. This is...
Read this, okay?
This is it.
And then you definitely won't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
Moderate income housing, yeah, I didn't have it. Your printer's a little tired, huh?
Yeah. It prints a lot. It stays busy. You guys want a copy of it? So all those, when we look at the general plan, we'll need to look at all these plans, update them accordingly. When we get into zone changes and things like that, they will use all three of these documents. And we should be using all three of these documents as we guide the town through the zoning. So just wanted you to be aware of that.
Thank you for the copies and that information. The next one, I'm also going to ask you, since you're the one that asked for it, the Cedar Valley Corridor update.
So is everybody familiar with the corridor study that's going on in Heber right now?
Nope.
So there's a website that they're looking at, and several different options. One of them is a tunnel.
Oh, the bypass stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So
yes.
Down Main Street.
Very good.
Let me just pick up these all these stuff, so I'm just going to hand them out so you can see it. And I believe. So they've been taking public input.
That is an option, they've outlined.
They've been taking public input on these. Still going here, right? Okay. Get lost. There's been a lot of meetings. A lot going on. Another option on your paper you see there is 7 lanes. They're on the left-hand side.
I think you've given us all but one of the different versions.
So it's another.
Did I?
I've got 40E and F. TJ's got 40A and some other version.
I got 40C.
Okay. I have D.
Yeah,
C and D.
I've seen them, so I'm okay.
I'm glad you noticed that. So what did you get, A?
I've got E and F.
E and F. B and A.
Okay.
A, B.
S,
and D. C, D. I got C, D.
C, D. Okay, I'm C, D. Now your E and
S, B,
D. Right?
I need A, B.
You need A, B.
Yeah.
Not
do you
B.
Remember the password for in here?
Pass that to your neighbor.
You shouldn't need it. If you do. It won't count the internet only. There were two of them.
Okay,
one requires a password, one doesn't.
It has a dash.
C, D.
Was at the very bottom of the dash.
Okay.
Try again.
I have F and E.
You have F and E, so you need A and C, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you have?
I have C and D, so I need A, B, E, and F.
E and F?
E and F.
And A, right? Is that
A and B. There's
okay.
Three papers, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Thank you. We need C, D, E, F.
C, D, and E, F. I feel better. I'm not taking too many papers.
Yeah. Am I in?
Okay, so that's all the different areas that they're talking about. They're taking public comment. There is a website. And I believe it's on one of these papers. Heber Valley EIS?
F.
Yeah.
EIS, Environmental Impact Statement.
Yeah, think hebervalleyeis.com. And so they're taking input on all those, as well as the east bypass and the west bypass. There's a lot going on in Little Town. They also have just added a component of busing. So looking at the busing component, we missed out on some legislature money because they're kind of dragging their feet about bringing buses down.
Okay. So individual comments still not. This is not open for individual comments.
It is on the website.
It is?
Yep.
It's not up the other day.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, they have a running tally of how many people have commented, and they've actually adjusted some of these because of that. There's some of, as a matter of fact, one of the ones I was reading said they would rather see the congestion on Main Street than have Mill Road as a bypass. So some of the public, quite a few of them in that area has great concern with that eastern bypass. So there's a lot of public involved up on that end. Okay, so I just wanted you aware of that, that's going on. You're planning for the valley, not only for Daniel, so you should be involved with that.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, the next one, we heard in the last council meeting about the Charleston Water and Sewer Exchange, and I kind of talked about it in the last meeting, is what are the implications for planning? And I guess my question is, if we had 100 sewer connections, where would we use them?
Did you skip number 8?
Oh, I did.
That's okay. You heard it up from me.
So I'm always looking out for you, Eric. just call me.
No, let's just keep that in mind. Let's go back.
Okay.
I
apologize for that.
Okay. So now on 9. Okay.
So we're back to 8.
Oh, we're back to 8.
Oh, you went back?
Yeah.
I thought we skipped, but we're back. We're back.
I'm glad you guys are laughing.
One more paper.
Yeah. Okay.
Might as well be out of order and then back.
If I don't know, my PDFs won't download on that website. The PDF on, I don't know, one of them.
I've been hotspotting off my phone, but now I just tried yours. The county one, it seems to be working.
Oh. Yeah, it's like, couldn't load file, retry. It was actually on the garage. I wanted to see the pictures again. And it won't. Oh, now it did it. Okay, just slow. Just slow. But at least we have.
That's what's going on in your town.
Okay, take a minute to read through those and if you have questions.
Doing that, reading that for just a second. I'm handing out a code, Utah State Code. I was asked a question from a Planning Commission member who's not here of why we see the building permit and they don't go straight to the council. This is the state code regarding that. And so you'll all get that answer.
Thank you.
Ron Plummer subdivision, where's that one?
So that's right at the end of Mill Road.
Which
on
one?
The left-hand side, the three little lots. So the middle lot right now is on the market, and they're
so the south end of Mill Road on the east.
On the east side. There's that Ron Plummer subdivision. It was recorded right before we became a town.
Has the gate.
It's got the pipe fence.
Got the iron gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So one of the lots is already built on. There's two more lots in that subdivision that have not been built on. So they were worrying, they was worrying about height requirements and what they need to do to build on that lot because of the constraints that we have with the separation of the septic, because they're narrow lots. So 200 feet is hard to get that septic to fit in there. And you, if you remember when that other house was built, they got a variance from their neighbor that they could be closer to that property line. So there are some different things that they still have to comply with, even though it has been approved as a subdivision law.
What's the commercial zone change on Highway 40 Haroldson?
That's the Haroldson one that came before us.
Oh, a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was approved at the council.
Okay.
That has to be recorded. He recorded it, and we only had so long to act on that. From the council has to act on that within 30 days.
He re-recorded it?
No, he recorded it.
Recorded it, okay.
Yeah, and that started the 30 days, so that's why it's on there, is there has to be action by the town on that. They have to report that. The zone change has to take place.
And is there any update on Jeremy Keel's situation? I thought they were going to come to the city council a month or two ago.
Right, that's what I heard. I haven't seen anything.
Okay. So they may be receiving some penalties in the meantime?
That's up to the council. I just delivered the letter. And
what's the background there?
We had a house that was pretty much gutted and sat empty for quite a while. They went in and fixed it without a permit, redid the plumbing and electrical, and never did. They said, we talked to them, they was coming to get a permit, and it just never happened. All of a sudden, we have people in the house, so.
And a lot of cars out front, usually, so.
Where's
Daniel Road, and how far south? 15-something?
Just north of Tankum, right?
Oh, on the west side of the road?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brown, dark brown.
That's the one.
Gotcha.
So they're not doing any more work right now that we know of, or?
Not that I know of. A little landscaping in the yard. We gave them a cease and desist and a notice, but I know the mayor's talked to them.
What's next? A fine equal to the fees or the inspector? What's next?
Well, that would be the easiest thing. Just come get a permit. As I told them, come get a permit. If you have to take some drywall off for them to inspect the power, that's so be it. That's your fault. You didn't get a permit. You will. But I think that's where the drag's coming in, is they don't want to
undo.
So the next option for the town would be just to condemn the house. Because, I mean, if it burns down, we've allowed it to go out of compliance. And I think the town does assume some responsibility and liability on that. But
is that a planning thing, or would that be a council?
It's council.
Oh, so, council. Yeah. Okay. And we don't do anything with these water meters that you've got loaded on here?
Well,
is that council?
That's in the planning, as we plan for this in the general plan, and we're looking at the zone changes and different things, the meters we're looking at that are dying right now, they've been looking at getting a different one that reads with some others that are within the county complex. So it would be, I mean, that's something planning should look at. What do we want to see long-term with our meters, with our water system? That's all part of the planning process. So the recommendation to council on what, that's something that you need to just look at and bounce off all the minds that can meet.
Okay.
We're at the end of our warranty, and so they're dying off pretty fast. We're just under 50% of reading, so.
So then you just manually go out and read them?
No, they just get the minimum billing in the winter. If we have problem, the water heavy in the summer, we'll manually read those. But the cost is absorbent to go over there and read them all by hand, so.
Can I get a dead one?
We do have on next council meeting, Ryan Taylor's gonna come and do a presentation on the chlorinators and water meter options, because they do need to be taken care of.
We got a guy ready to replace them, but we just don't have the meters on.
Sure. Okay.
Well, when you say they're approaching 50% read, so what does that mean?
50% of them are no longer transmitting data.
Transmitting, okay, that's what I was trying to get at. Got it. I have a well, so I don't know about these things. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to number 9. We already talked about the water sewer exchange, so we're not at the council meeting. Charleston has proposed trading 100 ERU water connection for a 100 ERU sewer connection. And so the question is, you know, what are the implications of that? And one of the thoughts that I had that planning could look at is, where would we actually use those sewer connections? And what would it, you know, because we need to figure out where would we use them, and then how much would it cost to be able to get that pipe down?
And I think their thought was that we would also put commercial out along Highway 189, and that's where they would be used.
Right, but
is that your understanding?
But based on airport plans, the chances of us ever having anything there.
Next to no.
We did have a meeting with a developer that's interested in that parcel if the sewer is available. If they're not, then they don't want to, but it was a pretty big, big project. There will be a lot of ERUs involved with that piece of parcel. So when they came to the town and asked, we just threw out all this stuff. Here's what we want, and it was big. We wanted some of the zoning back in the gravel pit, because we want to be able to control not the gravel pit, but what comes after the gravel pit. All that will dump right onto Southfield Road, all that development. So we want to be able to control some of that, because we get the impact from that. Everybody in Daniel knows when the wind blows up there, you get the dust. So those are some of the impacts we was looking at. We threw out the list, expecting things to come back that wouldn't be approved. And they just come back and said, we need good. So that's where they're at back now, saying,
okay, go.
Apparently we didn't think of enough things. So.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything in the presentation about any of those accommodations.
Yeah,
but
so
there were some?
There are some. Yeah, it cuts off. That was a shutdown at the meeting down there. I can tell you that at the council meeting, they're just like, no. And we're like, okay, that was easy. And then they're like, well, wait a minute, it really does affect you. So they started diagonally over towards Sullivan's back there from the corner of the county complex and diagonal across there. So they, I mean, they're entertaining it, and that's, I think it's all in negotiations, you know, back and forth. And it's totally up to the town to decide if they want to even deal with it or.
I thought it was good that I didn't really get it at the town meeting, if they were willing to work with Charleston or listen to whatever they had to say and discuss it. So I think it's really encouraging that we're discussing it. Charleston's very similar to us. Why do we keep overlapping services? We could use their community building. We could maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things that maybe we could work together.
Yeah, and they've been really good with us. They've never charged us rent for using that building. We've used that a few times. Some of our meetings, and they've never charged us rent. They've been really good to work with. But I keep telling them it's their fault. When we made the town, I told them annex us in, and they said not interested. And it's your fault if you got to play with us.
So one of the things that I had questions about in that meeting that I think we need to discuss here at some point, Brian made the comment that we have plenty of water for any future growth that we're going to be doing in Daniel. We have plenty of use, and we haven't seen any of that. I don't know that that's really the case.
In the current zoning, did he put that in there? Did he say that?
No.
At the current zoning level, we have for build out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much build out is possible. I don't know what happens if people start putting apartments in their houses, and so there's twice as many families there, so we use twice as much water. Or any, I think we ought to look at all of those things as part of our plan to see, do we really have extra water? If we do, well, then we can keep talking. If we don't, then there's no point.
I think the ability to get the water is different than having the water.
Yeah, those are two separate things. Brian has a plan to give.
Right, so if they come, they will have to bring that water with them. We're not supplying the water, we're supplying.
Well, they're bringing the paper, but it's, is it?
That's the part to get it out of the ground. If you don't have the paper, you don't get the water, so.
Right, but can they bring, for example, we all know the aquifer recharges from Daniel Irrigation Company water, part of it, and that's, like, they have to run the water down the ditch for replacement water for the well. So do we take, Timpanogos shares for the town water, or pumping it out of the aquifer that would have been replenished if we get Daniel's shares? So I'm saying, if you can do it, at least get Daniel's shares that can be run back into the aquifer instead of go to Provo, which is really what's gonna happen if you just trade paper water, it does us absolutely no good.
Yeah, and I think.
Robin's here.
Robin's here.
Yeah, he knows a lot about this water stuff.
I think there's a lot that we don't know.
Great resource back there.
Before we can even go down that road.
Yeah, and it's preliminary, I think, this discussion.
Just that we're having a discussion is good.
Right.
Yeah, then just start thinking about it, and like I said, kind of do it from a planning perspective. And then you're welcome to do all of the other things as a citizen. Go to the council meeting and put your input in.
I think the council will be asking for the planning's opinion.
Yeah.
Well, we need to plan water, so.
That's part of the plan. You don't have water, you don't have anything.
You don't have much, you don't have water.
Yep.
Very dry fields.
I do think Ryan did say that we have enough water for our zoning now.
Our zoning now, but we're talking about possibly changing our zoning.
I just would like to see that.
Yeah.
Is that exactly enough, or is it enough plus if we ever change zoning for another 100 EUs, or, you know, just what does that mean versus just saying we have enough?
Ellen and Ryan also mentioned we may have to start pumping, which is going to increase the cost of the water. I just wondering what the public outcry will be when their bills go up because we're paying more for pumping the water, and you know the room will be, well, because we supplied water to Charleston, now we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of those kinds of issues.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Nobody's water wants to go up to pay for somebody else's. So, yeah.
I mean, I have a well, but if that well was to stop, I would like to have the option of hooking into culinary. So, I mean, I.
And we don't know if we start pumping a lot more water out of the ground, what, if anything, would that do to the aquifer that all our wells are on?
See, his example is perfect because he's no longer pulling out a well. He transfers those to the town and we supply that water. It stays in the aquifer.
If there's enough there.
Yeah. Just the town has an 800-foot straw and most of the rest of us have a couple hundred feet.
It was good to see that set up today. That was very informative. Okay.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments on this today? I'm sure you'll see it again next month.
And the next month, and the next
month. What do we specifically want from them? We went and saw the setup today, like, to the point that was helpful, but it feels like we're still repeating ourselves from last month. With respect to how much water do we really have, what's the next step there?
Well, what I want to see is, he says there's plenty of water, show me. What are the numbers? That's what I want to see.
So that's perfect, because we're right now we're preparing the report.
Okay.
So all that, we'll see how much came out, we metered there, and then how much went to the meters. And so all that report will show all that water. I mean, you guys were up there, how much was going over the overflow when you was there? Did you look at the SCADA screen and?
Pumps were on. We don't know how much was going in the overflow, but it was filling the tank. So whatever capacity.
Yeah, we've been running about 94 CFS.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's just out of spring. We haven't even turned on the well. Yeah. The well's idle. We haven't ran yet.
So 94 is pretty good for
just
spring.
Yeah, and usually there's about 90 something going over the overflow. So in the winter, our use goes way down, but. And then that pump will kick on, and then it'll fill up the tank, and it's usually like 3 days before it kicks on again, because of the bandwidth. It goes down so far before it kicks on again, and then it fills back up.
Kind of like a big plunger thing.
So, I mean, is that part of what we can get from Ryan, is just even the water we have rights to pull, what that looks like versus what we're using? And then I would even say, like, the capacity of our pump station and everything, I don't know. It doesn't sound like we're even close to maxing that thing out.
Yeah, we got the whole well still, so that whole pump doesn't even.
Well, which is really smart, because springs aren't always forever, so.
Nothing's forever.
It's great to see that backup in place.
It is.
Of course, you could get a little earthquake, and it could take the springs and the well.
Good.
Yeah, but you get to the point, you're tapping 800 feet down to your point, the rest of us are 300 or 400 feet, what happens then if we're regularly pulling from that?
A little bit of a concern I had at that meeting was, it sounded like they wanted to tap into our system, and they don't have very good pressure, so that's gonna cut into our pressure. We're gonna be pressuring them.
That's a really good question, because they needed, they said, the pressure more than the water.
Yeah, they don't have air flow.
Yeah.
They have water, they said.
They have water.
They just don't have pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a pressure reducing valve on the corner of 3000 South and Daniel Road. We actually hold pressure back because it's too high down there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's going to flow down there because of that, but it would, you'd probably have to put another pressure reducer back before it gets Charleston.
It probably would, yeah. And I don't know if they're going to tie the systems together. They talked about just hooking into fire hydrants, and we're just like, no deal. We wasn't interested in just providing fire, because you don't get any money off of that. You're going to run a line and it sits there and tell her to fire. Not interested.
And then there's no charge when they use the...
Unless there's a fire.
Well, do you get charged if you use your water out of the fire hydrant?
Well, we'd put a meter between the two systems, so we'd know how much goes, but it's just, it would be sitting there.
So is there a legal way to charge them a monthly fee that's not associated with gallons of water?
You know, the legislature met this year, and like I said, Robin probably knows a lot more than I know about any of this stuff.
Do you have any comment you want to make?
I think I made most of my comments. In fact, I made too many comments.
It was a long meeting.
It, you know, it's probably the most important issue for the town right now is our water system, protection of our rights. We're in the deepest drought in the history of recorded Utah right now. So it's something that worries me, and I think as you pointed out, we need to do more homework. We shouldn't do something that's, you know, seems palatable and feasible. Neither one of those words make any difference when it comes to water shortage, because we've got probably half our town on wells at some point in time. They need to come onto the system. Nobody knows what the zoning is going to be 10, 20 years from now. And having that asset, this is my opinion again, and I don't want to, but having that asset to be able to also attract economic development should the opportunity arise is like having a bird in the hand. It's not one in the bush. And I just really believe we've just got to be very, very cautious.
Okay.
Forgive me, I didn't have a meeting, so I'm trying to catch up here a little bit. So, I mean, the big thing they're offering in exchange for that is sewer, and I don't even know if Charleston has their own sewer system, or are they tapped into the main sewer system?
They're bringing Heber Cities down.
So, we pick up Heber City sewers. Is that the big gain that we're
enticed
with it? Is that?
Well, that you gain the customer, so we won't be supplying water to Charleston. Those are actually customers that'll be ours.
So you say.
Yeah, well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about.
That's what you've talked about, but that isn't something the town council is.
Just trying to understand what are the different discussions out there.
Right.
It's that they're saying we get some customers for water to help absorb some costs potentially,
right,
and we get access to sewer.
For the commercial areas.
For something presumably more on that side of Daniels.
Yeah.
We're not, doesn't seem like it would make sense. We're going to pipe that thing all the way up 3,000 to catch Mill Road anymore. So we are focusing on that area of Daniels, I would suspect, right?
Yeah, and Ryan has engineering about what it would take to service that area and going down Southfield Road. And that way, feeding it in a loop and stuff. He's done all the engineering stuff, so.
So what?
Anyway, it's a big deal, and there's a lot to be looked at, and then, of course, the stuff we missed.
Yeah, no, there's plenty, I'm sure. So I'm just trying to understand here. So why is this a Charleston discussion to give us access to Heber City's sewer?
It was just a carrot. They said get us to.
But we could do it with Heber City directly if we wanted, potentially, or is there a reason why Charleston's more advantageous, or?
They went there and they did the negotiation with Heber. Heber at first said no, and then they're like, well, they said if we have to provide sewer, we're just going to annex it. And they said, well, sometimes a big brother just can't be all over the place. You got to leave some for somebody else. So that's when they conceded to provide some. But
okay, so we would be under Charleston's agreement with Heber City to do
this.
Not Heber City, it's the Heber Valley Special Services District.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that basically would. But yeah, you could see.
We could potentially negotiate that on our own if we wanted to, right?
Could, but you could for sure see Heber City gradually moving down the highway to engulf as much along the highway as they possibly can, because that's where the tax base is going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if they participate in some way, then yeah, it could be a carrot that they are going to throw out there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was also interesting in the meeting, if I heard it correctly, but basically the gravel pit is Charleston's source of revenue.
Yeah.
They said they'd be bankrupt in a week if that closed down. So
absolutely.
How
sure.
much, you know, control are we going to have over what happens on our border, because Charleston needs the money?
Well, we wouldn't be. I don't think there's any regulation about the pit. It's after the pit. We're looking at development rights after the pit's done. Because right now, Charleston can't even regulate the pit. The legislature stepped in front of that.
So pit's quickly going towards Southfield Road.
Very fast. Very fast.
All right, the next item, which is number 10, the mayor asked me to put on the agenda. And Eric was kind enough to put the zoning map up. You can see it from here.
No, and I have my copy too.
Sure.
We could go over there and look at it.
The dark green is industrial, if I'm correct?
The gray is industrial.
Is it gray?
The gray is industrial.
And the green is P160, and the tan is RA5, then the red is commercial. And of course, we do have a few parcels that are commercial that don't reflect on that map.
And then the purple is the RA1, right?
That's the RA1, and that came in with the annexation, came in under that. They have the same problem. They want to develop that, but there's no sewer. And the health department won't let them develop that in 1 acre parcels. So they have to run the sewer from down. That's basically the trailer park. They have to run that up through there.
For the RA1 on the east side of 40?
Yeah,
purple.
Yeah, that's what's holding them up.
So they have 1 acre lots over there?
And that's all RA1 zone.
And so right now their holdup is there's no septic, and the health department won't let them put tanks or whatever.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been subdivided yet, has it?
It's been through a couple of different owners. I don't know if they've subdivided it or not. The plan between that and Little Sweden Road, that has all been in Independence plan, and they show, I mean, it's all built out with homes and with a lot of economic places right along that corridor. So that's quite a revenue place right there that they'll be, their plans are all drawn up.
They have no water.
They have no water. And they,
I was going to say, are you hearing any progress on them moving at all?
About 2 months ago, UDOT called us and said that they're working on the corridor agreement with them. So
with Independence?
Yeah, so there must be some.
And I think they're working with Central Utah Water on water also, if I'm correct. They're talking about changing irrigation water for them to get water out of the new water treatment plant. That's what we were told in the irrigation meeting.
Water treatment. Oh, GSSD? GSSD, building water treatment.
Is that the water treatment at the bottom of the Cornell Dam?
Yeah, that's GSSD.
Oh, okay, GSSD.
Twin Creeks, yeah.
Twin Creeks, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yep, that's, they're building one right there.
So the thing we're going to end up with is what we saw today. Google Maps is going to send the trucks down Little Sweden. So when we were out at the water tank, we saw 53 footer from out of state headed down that way. And I'm guessing Google Maps said this is a shorter way to go.
Yep.
Was it a gas truck?
No, it was just a box semi, 53 foot trailer.
Oh, wow.
It's good.
Tight little road for that, isn't it?
Keep them off the middle road, that's fine.
It's not fun.
So I personally think we should have some discussion, not particularly tonight, but in the plan that I think we should identify not a hard line in the sand, but a pretty a good suggested line in the sand where commercial stops. Because we just keep, especially on the 189 side, we just keep having this discussion over and over on how far into town are we going to have commercial.
And we've got, correct me if I'm wrong, we have like an enterprise zone map as well that is somewhat akin
things.
To, separate, but they are related in that there's
they
are
related.
They're really not related.
Well, they're intended to incentivize.
I know, but
commercial. You can make them different, I get it.
No, it was built for the farmer. If you're into commodities, our whole town should have been in that zone. It's not available now.
What?
Our whole town should have been in that zone.
Enterprise zone?
If you're doing agricultural commodities, you qualified.
But you can also do it for commercial. I've done it with a commercial building.
Right.
Enterprise zone.
But it's harder to do with commercial. I mean,
that's pretty easy for me. It was, I built the building and sent in my receipts and got a nice tax credit for it.
Yeah.
So you can do it, and I guess, I'm not disagreeing that it can be different, but I think there can be some overlap there of if you're trying to incentivize businesses or disincentivize them, take it away if you don't want it in certain areas potentially. I wasn't aware of the ag piece of it, but at least from a commercial aspect, that's an incentive for me if I know I can snag, you know, 70 or 100 grand of tax credits off of it.
Yeah, it's silly. It's amazing when you read that paper what it's actually about. The lawyers will tell you it's all commercial, and they beat you up with that. So that's something you definitely got to brush up on, is that enterprise zone, because it's definitely not a commercial endeavor.
Well, it might not have been intended that way, but it can be used that way.
Sure, they'll use whatever they can get.
Sure.
If you go out and see where those zones occur, probably, I would guesstimate, this is a guess, 90% of them more in a commercial zone. It never was originally intended to incentivize agricultural areas. Maybe Eric knows more than I do, but it never was, that was never the intent.
There's a ton that's in ag. I pulled up the map for Utah the other day. This is the tax geek in me because I started looking for a client.
You see?
And yeah, I mean, it is. It's all these whole counties that are these low density counties. And then I look at like Utah County and there's like nothing in Utah County whatsoever.
Right.
Which, so that starts to make more sense if there is an ag twist back at historical or wherever. But whether what the intent was or is or wasn't, to me it can be a tool that if we want to incentivize certain areas for whatever. I don't think anybody's, I could be wrong, I don't know if we get data like this as a town. If anybody's using that from an ag perspective in our town at all, I don't even know how you use it from an ag perspective.
I don't.
We do, I want to know.
Well, yeah, no, agreed. I mean, and if that's what we want to incentivize, then let's leave it in these ag areas and let's educate everybody on how to use that. Otherwise, let's put it in the commercial zones and inform people of that and use that as our incentive of, no, this is really where we want you. And correct me if I'm wrong too, but I think in looking at where our ag zone or our enterprise zones are now, they're not focused as like an ag, right? Aren't they more focused on these same commercial corridors?
That's where they ended up putting them in.
Yeah. So I think we just need to understand what we're trying to incentivize with that in conjunction with what we want out of a commercial zone. And if enterprise zones can be more than that, that's great. But then we probably ought to, you know, look at that aspect of it as we're doing this.
So they've gone away now. You can't get an enterprise zone now. If you didn't sign up, you didn't get one.
As a town, you mean?
As
a taxpayer?
In the state of Utah. If you don't have that zone, you can't add that zone now.
Oh, for the town, you mean?
Legislature took that away.
Yeah, but if the zone exists today, I, as a taxpayer, can still go and apply and build something for it.
Right, yeah.
So we can't modify our enterprise zone at all?
I don't know if we can modify, but I know the ones that didn't sign up, they said after this date, you will not be able to sign up.
You don't get it. So we may or may not even be able to modify it. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know that.
And maybe, I'm sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions here.
Sorry.
Do we get any ding if somebody uses an enterprise zone for us? I mean, it's money that goes out the door to the state of Utah for that. Do they assess the town for having an enterprise zone? Like, does that go into our budget at all that you're aware of?
No, the legislature funded that, so.
So that's not.
So they keep the money?
Well, most of the time, the trigger is sales tax. And that's where the communities ends up getting the dividend. You agree to a reduction in property tax over a period of time, basically to incentivize the developer to hire employees, to expand their business, to create leverage, and then they.
Potentially.
And that's when it makes most sense, is when they turn around and then start.
Yeah, at least.
Producing a sellable product that has sales tax, and that's when the community gets back. And then there is a point in time where you say, okay, that's the end. We've incentivized for a period of time.
Yeah, at least the ones that I've looked at, there's the payroll power of it and the wanting workers. The other one and this is the one I looked at, is it's just pure build out. They want economic investment. So put up a building, buy new equipment, do whatever, which to me then that's not, like, I don't see where they're getting any of that revenue. They just want to have some base for down the road.
Yeah, it was a carrot to dangle.
True.
Bring people to.
But that's not something we're losing 50 grand of our budget if somebody gets a $50,000 enterprise zone grant.
I think, like,
that doesn't hit the town right away.
No. No, and I think the potential there, if we have point of sale, is to gain it back in.
Sure.
Okay, so we all have some work to do on items 6, 9, and 10. I'll be back on the agenda.
So do we want to come to the next meeting with some ideas on 6, 9, and 10?
Yes, please. Good enough ideas that we can have some discussion and make some progress.
Do we expect some report from Ryan in advance of the next meeting on number 9?
I think they said he was on the agenda for the council meeting.
Good. Does he come to these meetings usually or not?
He does. Oh. I think he's out of town.
Okay.
Yeah, we usually have him or Amelia. Yeah, he is out of town.
Okay. Anyone want to make another motion?
I'll take care of that. I motion to adjourn.
Okay. You have a second?
I will second that.
Okay, call for the vote.
Am I?
Bridger, aye.
TJ, aye.
Aye.
Okay.